A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Text. Netflix presents. A boy's hands place items atop a laid-out paisley bandana. A Woody Woodpecker comic, bazooka gum, a bouncy ball, tiger's baseball cards, a soldier figurine, a cowboy wallet, a utility knife, a spring toy, and a whoopee cushion. He ties them up and creates a bindle. Sunshine gleams on a sidewalk as the boy walks to a diner in high-top sneakers. Inside, a man behind a counter pours coffee. George, the beige-skinned, black-haired boy of East Asian descent, sets down his bindle and sits next to a light-skinned male customer in a suit.
Two Pop-Tarts, please.
The counterman serves George Pop-Tarts.
Leave the box.
Tough day.
You don't want to know.
The counterman grins. George reads a comic on the box.
One day, Grandma Kellogg, while baking pies for her family, found she had some extra crust and filling. So she put them together into little tarts. They were so popular, she called it the Pop-Tart. Wow, that's a pretty good story.
You think so? Bunch of baloney.
It's on the box, mister.
Yeah, well, that ain't what happened, kid.
How do you know?
Because I write what's on those boxes.
George turns away with a wry grin. Bob, the customer, peeks at George's bindle. He shares a glance with the counterman.
You want to know the real story?
Nope.
Come on, it's a good one.
All right, but make it quick.
At Bob's home.
Well, in the early 60s, the American morning was defined by milk and cereal.
He and his family exit.
Our milkman was named Mike. He was a swell guy.
Mike, a milkman, salutes.
And our little town captured the imagination of every breakfast-loving American kid just like you.
Bob drives to work.
Battle Creek, Michigan. The home of the two undisputed giants of the cereal world, Kellogg's and Post. And battle they did. Week after week, bowl after bowl, Post and Kellogg's fought tooth and tongue to win. But a spoon was about to get bent when a hot, sweet rectangle popped on the scene, threatening to upend America's breakfast table forever.
Across from the Post building in his office at Kellogg's, Edsel, a pale-skinned balding man, sits on a roller massager.
Morning, Mr. Kellogg.
Oh, great numbers last week, Bob. You look at these demos, we beat alphabets in 4 to 6-year-olds.
Letters, bad idea. Don't make them think, they want to eat.
Did you read about the boy in Bloomington who used the letters to spell ass?
Horrible. And that's on his permanent record. Good luck getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you get my memo about the Frogman prize inside? Some kids are eating them.
Yeah, if they're frogmen, they'll find their way out. Did you look in on Tony?
On my way now.
Keep him happy.
He reads the news.
Vietnam, that seems like a good idea.
A film shoot.
Want to know what puts a toothy grin on this tiger's face? Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes. They're so right.
Thurl, can you hit the so a little bit harder? They're so right. You know.
Thurl, an older light-skinned man, removes the head of his Tony the Tiger costume.
Are you giving me a read?
I would never do that, Thurl.
Let's not play games, young man. I am rehearsing Lear at 4, so could you simply tell me what you want?
I want to go home.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, and look who's here.
Good morning, Thurl.
Is it good, Bob? Is it? Have you seen today's copy?
Oh, we'll get it, Thurl. We've got the best serial writers in the business.
We do indeed. We are so blessed. They're great. Just great.
Haggard writers sit on a couch.
That's it. That's the line we've been looking for. Let's go again.
Yes, quickly now. Quickly while I feel it.
Thurl dons the head. They film in black and white.
Sugar Frosted Flakes. They're great.
And cut.
Thurl, you did it again.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind to me. You're very kind. I soar on the wings of eagles. Thank you.
Bob, a moment. I was wondering, is there something that could be done, perhaps, about the temperature inside my head? I'm literally sealed up inside, you see.
I'll get the boys in the lab to look into it.
Great.
Thank you.
Thurl approaches the director.
Where is the lab?
There's no lab.
in a Kellogg's office area.
Mr. C.
Poppy, what's this?
It's a first pass at your Fruit Loops idea.
Oh, how'd they do?
The numbers aren't great.
Yeah.
Time to SOG, 14 seconds.
Ouch.
Milk buoyancy, zero. They are sinking like buckshot.
Disappointing.
Do you want to hear the survey responses?
Not really.
They are, I don't like these. Please no more. And where did my parents go?
Okay, just double the sugar, triple the gluten, and spell fruit, F-R-O-O-T. There's no fruit in here. Obviously, fruit cannot survive in a box on a shelf.
Of course not.
A trio of mascots.
Mr. Cabana.
Ah, boys.
I'm just going to cut right to it. We're tired of doing supermarket appearances.
Yeah, we're catching on. We want a record deal, board games.
Maybe even a beach movie.
Oh.
Tell them the title. Crispy Boys Surfing Along. Yeah, this thing is big, Bob. We want more.
More? Here's more. Let's add a new guy. How about Snap, Crackle, Pop, and Boing? Would you like to split your paycheck four ways with Boing? Or I could just hire Poop, Slap, and Smile, because I can replace this whole act! Like that.
Snap pants with a closed mouth. Poppy, a taupe-skinned female assistant, halts.
He's teasing. He loves you guys.
Meeting in the Krispy Cave now.
In a dining hall.
From the recently renovated Holiday Inn in Battle Creek, Michigan, it is the 1963 Bowl and Spoon Awards, the night cereal salutes itself. Brought to you by Oscar Mayer Wieners. When you are done with breakfast, we'll be waiting.
Edsel.
Well, whatever it is, my gerbil loves it.
A light-skinned, apple-cheeked woman nears with a clean-cut, light-skinned man.
Oh. Madam Cereal, Miss Marjorie Post.
Well, well, King Kellogg. Good luck tonight. Not that you need it, right?
Well, I don't know. That fruity gravel of yours made quite a splash.
Pebbles. Fruity Pebbles. I'm Rick Ludwin, also with Post. I have been eating you for years.
Edsel stares.
I'd leave.
The clean-cut man walks off.
You know we don't stand a chance against you tonight.
Well, it's been a very good year.
Well, you should enjoy it. It's the 60s. Things are really moving fast.
What do you mean?
Oh, there's always a surprise inside the box, isn't there, Eddie?
A fair-skinned man dressed like a Quaker nears a table with Edsel, Bob, and Poppy.
Greetings, Kellogg's brethren. Praise be.
Hey, Isaiah. You know Isaiah Lamb from Quaker. Anything new nominated tonight?
No, nothing new. Original oats, original flavor.
Yeah, flavor.
What's that?
Nothing.
You Kellogg's people. Peace be upon you.
The Quaker leaves.
Why do they keep showing up to this?
Mixing religion and cereal. Why?
To keep sales down?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Stu Smile.
On stage, Stu, a stout brown-skinned man, blows a kiss. He kicks his leg.
Oh, I love this guy.
And welcome to the Big Bowling Spoon. How are you? Look at you tonight. Somebody's frosted your flakes. Well, you know, I love cereal, people. I do. My favorite thing is on the front of the box is serving suggestions. Well, I have a suggestion for you. How about filling up the box? What's with all the air?
Bob nods.
This is going to be a great night, guys, and we're going to get things started here with our first award. It is Best New Cereal Bugs Character. And the winner is Kellogg's Apple Jacks Applehead.
This is all you.
Well, it's everyone. Me mostly.
Easiest to open wax bag. Kellogg's!
Edsel and Bob accept awards.
Kellogg's, ladies and gentlemen. Kellogg's, guys, come on. Best use of niacin. You guessed it. Kellogg's, guys.
Marge, the apple-cheeked woman, tightly grins. Rick, the clean-cut man, lazily claps.
Heathens. Let the grain speak for itself.
Bob and Edsel jump with trophies. Trophies crowd the Kellogg's table.
I don't even know where I'm going to put all these.
Why are they smiling over there? They're losing everything.
And then the priest says, really? She was when I knew her.
Marge smirks and waves.
Maybe they're just happy for you, Bob.
Yeah, they'd be happy if we were dragged through the streets by our heels like Mussolini.
Mussolini? Come on, Bob. Lighten up. We won the night.
I don't know. I feel like they know something we don't.
And now, in memoriam, let's take a moment to remember some of the cereals we lost this year. We ate of you what we could.
A screen features cereal boxes that read General Mills Wilt Chamber Flakes and Kellogg's Grandma's Holes.
It was a very good year.
On another day, Bob drives through town. He pauses and looks at the Post building. He shakes his head. By its loading docks, he spies a freckled boy, Butchie, and a round-faced girl, Kathy, climbing into a dumpster. A garbage man gets in his truck. Bob gapes. The truck lifts the dumpster. Its contents and the kids tip over into the truck. The kids jump out of the back of the truck. As they run to the next dumpster, Kathy trips momentarily. They jump in. Bob grimaces and pulls up his station wagon to the garbage man.
Hey, what are those kids doing?
Well, they come for the goo.
Who comes for the goo?
The ones. The ones who come, it's for the goo.
The goo?
The goo!
The garbage man drives away. Bob gets out. He looks in the dumpster. Kathy holds a pastry piece. A fruit filling can rests in Butchie's lap. He grasps a dipped pastry piece.
Are your kids okay?
Oh, sure. We live in nice homes and already had a complete breakfast.
But we come here for this.
It's garbage.
Is it? Or is it some hot fruit lightning the man doesn't want you to have?
She offers.
No, wait. You have to have it like this.
Bob takes Butchie's dipped piece. Sunshine glimmers on the red filling. Bob tries it.
Eat up.
Bob blinks rapidly. Lightning strikes. In Kellogg's, Bob runs up a staircase. In Edsel's office, Edsel searches for space on his shelf for a trophy.
They got a fruit-filled pastry dingus.
Dingus? Who is a dingus?
Post, they did it. It's some kind of jelly-ish structure thing. Transportable, possibly heatable. It might even be nutritious.
It's not possible. It's like a balloon popping out of a steering wheel in an accident. Insane.
I tasted it.
Where?
Out of a dumpster.
But isn't this what your team was working on? You said it was a dead end.
It is. We thought it was. Post must have cracked it. This could sink us. There isn't a Kellogg cereal that would survive.
You're in a tizzy, Bob. Look at these awards. We just cleaned up at the Bowl and Spoons.
Edsel, we own the Bowl and Spoons. You know how hard I work to keep that from leaking? It's a sham.
It's a good show.
Well, the show's over.
You realize what this means. Post will be the new king of Battle Creek.
Then what are we?
We're lumpy cream of wheat.
I wanted to send my kids to college.
Bob loosens his tie.
It's like $200 a year.
I guess my family was right about me. I'll be the first failed Kellogg.
You didn't fail. You have to do something to fail.
Easy on the insults, Bob. You'd be out of a job, too.
I know. I could be a train hobo, cooking meat on the end of a stick over a barrel fire.
You can't say hobo anymore. They'd prefer bum.
Well, I guess that's the end of my dream of having a real lawn someday.
Well, you have a lawn.
It's not sod. I want sod. You ever see that kind of grass? Thick, really green. They roll it out like popping fresh dough.
That's your dream? You don't have feelings like normal people, do you?
Yes, I do. I feel fine.
We need to find out if this is real.
Edsel uses a company phone.
I need Chester Slink.
Who's that?
I'm on the phone, Bob.
A newscast films.
Direct from CBS News in New York, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
This just handed to me some major news from the breakfast world. The Post Cereal Company of Battle Creek, Michigan, has reportedly invented a shelf-stable, heatable fruit pastry breakfast product. Shelf-stable. Boy. More to come after this.
And we're clear.
On a personal note, Daddy bought himself a Wheelo. Wheelo. Goes away, but always comes back for more.
Walter plays with a toy.
Much like the missus.
In a Kellogg's meeting, a tough guy wears a suit.
This is Chester Slink, our head of security. Chester, tell us what you found out.
Well, this footage was taken this morning by our man inside Post.
Chester, the tough guy, snaps, then turns on a projector. It projects a mop in soapy water.
I can't see a damn thing.
It's the best we have right now. We have an operative posing as a janitor with a camera attached to his mop. Very brave, these men inside with their mops. We believe this is what Bob was ingesting in the dumpster. Clearly, it's a fructiferous goo. Perhaps pectin-based?
The mop drips on a round pastry.
Pectin.
In Marge's office.
What are you doing? What is that noise?
Get that mop out of my face! Do your job!
A janitor lifts the mop with a camera on its end. It films a folder that reads Kellogg's breakfast pastry product.
Wait, stop the film.
In the meeting.
That's my research.
Yeah, it is. It's possible they got a guy working in our offices.
Unlikely. I recently doubled our security. We have two guards now. Can you do that later? We're in a meeting.
A Kellogg's janitor unplugs, then wheels out a vacuum with a visible camera attached.
Excuse me, but I am days away from a fruit snack that'll blow their product right into the deli aisle.
Is that a sardine can?
It was. But instead of oily Mediterranean bait fish, it contains yummy fresh fruit puree. I give you the Kellogg's Fruidine.
Mold contaminates a sardine can filled with puree.
This one appears to be compromised. That happens. My team is also very close on something called corn gooeys.
And that is?
It's individual corn pops filled with creamed corn. Ooh. And they're gooey.
Ooh. Everyone out. Take that.
The employee takes the can.
Save us, Bob. Whatever it takes. Whatever you need.
I need Stan back.
No.
Edsel stands.
No, Stankowski. No can do.
Look, I know Stan's not easy.
Not easy? Well, you couldn't even deal with Stan.
We worked it out. We used a veto system.
What?
We gave each other the power to veto anything the other person did that was annoying. To reduce tension. Smelly lunch orders. Weird belts.
Oh, that's interesting. Because my company's on the verge of total collapse!
That's why we need Stan.
Does anyone even know where Stan is?
Cape Canaveral.
3, 2, 1, ignition.
At NASA, a rocket launches, then bursts into flames. Inside, a sign reads, Moon Practice, Alien Encounters, 2 p.m. today. On a film set of the moon's surface, a machine lowers a lunar module.
The alien is hostile.
A fake alien grabs an astronaut. The astronaut whips him. Another alien dances out.
The alien is tricky.
It uses a cane to trip the astronaut. Stan, a full-figured woman with a brunette bob, mixes Twinkies in a bowl. Her badge reads, Donna Stankowski.
Hey, if you guys get hungry on the moon, I just came up with this. It's Twinkie in a tube.
Like I couldn't do that?
I see in flavors, flyboy. What do you do other than screw up and press eject?
Bob rides in on a rover.
Cabana.
Can't believe they leave the keys in these things.
He gets out.
Wow. You guys are really into the moon.
Been expecting you. Host has really got you by the nut clusters this time. Here, try this.
Bob sips an orange liquid from a beaker.
It's got a certain tang.
Ooh, that's a good name. Look, Bob, I know you're in a spot, but I don't want to go back to Flake Town.
What is so great about NASA?
They're not afraid of the future. I mean, we've got something here called a microwave oven. Cooked a Swanson TV dinner 25 minutes flat. That's a fact.
Yeah, for 7 guys. I'm talking about happy childhoods for millions of American kids.
We're going to the moon.
The moon. Leave the moon alone. You look up, it's there. It'll always be there. Don't pick at it. You're jamming goo in the tubes for a bunch of chain-smoking Corvette guys with flat tops. They're going to go up. They're going to come down. They're going to become alcoholics and get divorced.
The chimps are smarter.
Bob makes a face.
How do you think Post did it?
I know how they did it. They stole our research.
I wonder if they used xanthan gum.
Xanthan.
Bottom line, I don't want to work for Edsel again.
You don't really think you're actually going to the moon, do you? Really?
Stan stares.
Going to the moon?
No, I don't.
No. Let's go.
Stan and Bob depart in the rover. At Post, in Marge's office, Butchie and Kathy sit in chairs.
Are we in trouble, mister?
You just tell Miss Post about what you were doing in our dumpster and anything else she wants to know.
Marge enters, beaming.
Hello, kids.
She slaps Rick out of the way.
Move. So, I heard you rascals went on a little treasure hunt.
That is our patented property. Do you know what trademark infringement is?
Trademark infringement is a violation of the exclusive rights of a proprietary brand without the authorization of the owner or other licensees.
Now you listen to me, Cabbage Patch. You have no idea what's going on here, do you?
The kids shake their heads.
But maybe you'd like to find out.
The kids emphatically nod.
Ma'am, you're not thinking of...
Bring me a box of the X-19s.
But ma'am, all we have at this point is an untested prototype. I cannot recommend.
You cannot? Don't you see, Ludwin? I'm about to finally crush that big red K that never stops glaring at me! I hate them.
She shuts blinds which block the view of Kellogg's. She quickly grins at the kids.
Where the hell are they?
Rick hauls in a metal case labeled Top Secret. He unlatches multiple lock mechanisms. He opens it. Crimped round pastries rest inside. Rick grabs two, then heats them in a toaster. Butchie furrows his brow. The toaster ignites.
Ludwin.
Rick blows out the flames, then uses metal tongs. The toaster electrocutes him.
Must you be so dramatic?
Why does it smell like that?
There's just a small amount of petroleum in this version.
He pulls out burnt pastries.
Forget the toaster! We'll do it raw! We'll do it raw!
Marge hands the kids two pastries from the case. The kids take a bite.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is even better than what's in the dumpster.
Butchie nods.
Better than what's in the dumpster. Just what they said about grape nuts.
In Kellogg's now cleared office area, Stan sports a yellow lab coat over a plaid outfit. Bob wears a suit.
We're gonna need to use every inch of this place.
I take it you're comfortable reinstating our veto system.
I think that would be wise, Bob.
Any issues?
No. Any issues?
Stan shows off her outfit.
No.
Here's a winning team. Milk and cereal, peanut butter and jelly, Stankowski and Cabana. Now I know we can take them. You look good, Stan.
You look the same.
Well, I just lost 25 pounds.
I don't miss it.
You're not supposed to miss it. Nobody misses 25 pounds of fat.
That's what I'm saying. I don't miss it.
Stan?
Well, why is he losing this? Is it because he's still sweet on Margie Post?
Would you leave him alone?
It's not true. Besides, a Post and a Kellogg could never be. It's forbidden.
Doesn't that make it sexier?
Oh, okay.
I told you this one's a little off. She's not a company man.
I'm not a man.
All right, let's start over. How about the three of us have a bowl of cereal together right now?
Sure. Why not? I could use a bowl.
Let's bowl up.
Bowl time.
Bob, Edsel, and Stan enter a cafeteria. They pause and rub their hands together. A rotating machine contains different Kellogg cereals.
You're just too good to be true.
Stan lifts a metal door. Inside, a bowl reads Kellogg's. She pulls down a lever and cereal pours into the bowl. In slow motion, the three eat. Bob and Edsel eat cornflakes, while Stan eats Rice Krispies.
At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
The magic of cereal is you're eating and drinking at the same time with one hand.
Mm-hmm. What we need to be able to do is recreate this euphoric gratification.
But in a completely new way.
Well, all of Kellogg's manpower is at your disposal.
That is not gonna work. If we're gonna beat Post, we need the most innovative, unconventional minds of the 1960s.
What, think you can get them?
Stan slaps down a list.
They're already on a plane.
Edsel and Bob look.
Well, he's not, and this guy's on a bus. And Einstein's dead, but the rest.
July 20th, 1963. At a crowded press conference, the press clap.
Today, Kellogg's boldly announces that we are entering the race to develop the new breakfast dingus. I'd like to bring up our head of development, Robert Cabana, to tell you all about it. Bob?
A journalist writes, dingus.
The brave men you see before you have been through an unprecedented series of evaluations. Each is at the top of their field. Inventive, visionary, fearless.
Five men stand when introduced.
Soft serve ice cream genius Tom Carvel. Children's bicycle maker Steve Schwinn. Inventor of the sea monkey and German immigrant Harold von Braunhut. Canned meatball whiz kid chef Boy R.D. Tightly tailored physical fitness icon, Jack LaLanne.
Jack, a buff man, flexes.
From IBM, the smartest machine ever made, Univac, the computer. I give you Kellogg's first ever taste.
pilots!
Tom, a portly man with light tan skin, gives two thumbs up. Steve, smiley and light-skinned, waves. Harold, serious and light-skinned, bows. Chef Boyardee, rotund and fair-skinned, grins. Jack throws punches.
Question.
Mr. Lalanne, is this kind of food really part of your health regimen?
Well, sugar's poison, which is why we're developing something new called high fructose corn syrup.
Jack flexes his muscles.
Mr. Swinley, why would you leave the number one bicycle company in America to make some unknown edible item?
That's what we're doing?
Next question.
Mr. Carvel, your voice is so famously unappetizing. Why did you put yourself in your own commercials?
Blowing out your trumpet, Sally.
Tom.
A UNIVAC 2 machine scans two male journalists. Birth date, 5/18/1917. Death date, 3/24/1985. Birth date, 8/23/1891. Death date, today. The man dies.
Mr. Von Braunhut, where were you in the early 1940s?
That is for me to know and you not to find out.
Harold looks around.
Okay, thank you, everyone. That's it for today.
Excuse me, I was serious about the 1940s question.
Can we all just move on?
Thank you, and we'll see you again.
The five men stand before the press as they snap photos. Mike and two other milkmen arrive. Edsel drops his smile. Mike points at Edsel. Edsel swallows, then hurries off the stage. Stan, Bob, and Edsel enter Edsel's office.
America is gonna fall in love with those guys.
Couple rough spots.
How masterful was Tom Carvel?
You mean threatening a female journalist or wearing a dirty shirt?
Yeah, right.
Hey, what were those milkmen doing there?
Take a seat. I've kept this from you two over the years because I just didn't know how to talk about it. As we all know, in the beginning, farmers milked cows for fun.
Photos.
It was just a gross white liquid dripping out of some dim-witted beast that was fun to throw at girls.
Stan grimaces.
When a ranch hand named Milky Cashman spilled some into a bowl of dry cereal, million-dollar business was born. You see, the smiling, friendly milkmen, that's all fake. They're a greedy, ruthless syndicate, and they protect what's theirs. And we are currently developing a product that doesn't need milk.
Wait a minute, whatever happened to Milky Cashman?
He was the first missing person on the side of a milk carton. His own goddamn milk carton. Sorry for my French.
That's not French.
Well, what does this mean?
What it means is we're about to have some very powerful people very upset.
I'm not afraid of those sour cream jockeys.
That kind of attitude could land you on the business end of a cow. That means the butt.
Week 2, dingus development. In the office area turned research room, scientists experiment. One pours gumballs into a jar. Purvis, a russet-skinned woman in a lab coat, stands by UNIVAC. Bob and Stan stare.
Bob, this is Purvis Pendleton from IBM.
We really appreciate you guys loaning this thing out to us.
Tell you the truth, we're kind of happy to be rid of it.
Oh?
It prints a punch card.
No.
Stan reads it.
Hello, Stan.
UNIVAC churns out another card. Stan reads its question.
Nursed or bottle fed? Neither. Don't answer that.
Purvis rips it up.
No, UNIVAC, no! We talked about this.
At a table, Poppy reads a comics ad.
Sea monkeys, the real live fun pets you grow yourself? Come on.
And here they are.
So simple. He pulls them in, stirs the water.
In a fishbowl, tiny pink creatures drift.
Behold, life. Genius, no?
And it's just dried out shrimp eggs.
Correct. Worthless. And yet the little ones willingly send me their allowance money.
Defrauding children. Lovely.
Don't get me wrong. I love the children. Although due to a cruel prank of nature, I can have none of my own.
What are you looking at? Don't you see I'm pouring my heart out?
Chef, don't send me back to Italy. I have debts. Serious men want to hurt me.
That's some good seafood.
Tom eats sea monkey mix.
I thought you said these were geniuses.
These were the geniuses that we could get.
I gotta talk to Jack about...
That fruit juicer in his pants?
Yeah, it's a focus puller. Does he go on TV like that? What, are they shooting from the waist up like Elvis?
I hope so.
UNIVAC scans Jack's pants, then prints a card that reads, he's freeballing it.
He's right.
Bob heads over to Jack, who stretches. Purvis examines UNIVAC as it virtually adds a jock strap on Jack.
So how's your hotel?
Oh, it's nice. They've got me at the Holiday Inn.
Oh, can't go wrong with the Holiday Inn.
Ice machines on every floor.
Clean. Paper bands on the toilet seat.
Classy operation.
Okay, so just to be clear, you want a smooth look. It gets weird, too. I'm not a doll, but I'll be one if you want me to be.
Just do something. I don't care.
You got it, boss.
Okay.
Jack glances downwards. In Marge's office, a newspaper reads, Kellogg's announces taste pilots.
They got Lalaine?
Marge thrusts it at Rick's face.
They're stacking the deck with ringers.
She peeks outside.
I had them on their backs, flipped over like a turtle. How long before we're on shelves?
We're not even out of the lab yet. We're still trying to figure out what's causing the buttock rashes.
You are a rash on my buttocks, Ludwin.
We also need a name.
What's the best we have right now?
Well, we're down to three. Dextrose Dillies, Wonder Gels, and Fresh Flatties.
Those are all pretty strong. There's one clear winner.
Yes.
Dextrose Fresh Flatties! Dillies. Ludwin, just get those goddamn fruit flabby or funk fritters, whatever the hell they're called, out the door and down kids' throats.
But ma'am, we haven't even negotiated for shelf space yet.
Leave that to me.
I like funk fritters. It's fun. Zippy. Let's go with that.
Or let's go with this.
She snaps a rubber band at Rick's eye. In the research room, scientists replace a dumbbell, pump a bike tire, and saw wood.
Do you think we should have hired people that know more about food?
Could have.
Trumpets, fanfare, alarums, for rehearsal is about to commence.
This space has been reserved for me and my players.
To do what?
Philip, a flyer, please.
Actors wear costumes.
Kellogg's Cereals presents Thurl Ravenscroft as King Lear, entirely reconceived and reimagined by Thurl Ravenscroft, starring Thurl Ravenscroft, and then it just says Thurl Ravenscroft again at the bottom.
This is Shakespeare for the 1960s. God knows, as relevant now as ever was.
Couldn't be more irrelevant.
Thurl eyes Stan.
Thurl, you can't be here right now.
I believe my contract is clear. I play your ridiculous box-top tiger in exchange for bringing some culture to the low-born, dirt-digging Michigoon.
You mean me?
I do.
Stan, thank you.
Stan backs off.
Thurl, you are our most important star.
Hmm.
But we can't prioritize the high arts right now.
I see. How's the lab, Bob?
Oh, the head temperature. Great news. They think they can put a coolant pump in your jowls.
Can they?
No.
Hmm.
I like your Burger King crown.
I like your hairdo. You look like a telephone.
I like your patchy mustache.
I like your patchy mustache.
I like your cadaver teeth.
Thurl steps close to Stan.
Beware of entrance to a quarrel. But once in it...
He locks eyes with Stan.
Beware of me.
What are you, some kind of ding-dong?
And I'm gone.
Excuse me. Mr. Kellogg needs you. A meeting of the five cereal families has been called.
By who?
Who do you think? Marge Post is making her move.
At night, in a grocery store, Barzini's Market.
I'd like to thank you all for coming. General Mills, Ralston, Quaker, and Kellogg's.
Around a conference table.
And thanks to Ernie Keebler for providing the fudge stripes.
A green-suited man.
Are these stacks complimentary?
Let's just pay attention.
Spare us the frosting, Marge. Just get to it.
And that is why I called this meeting. Respect. We at the Post Company have finally broken the fruit pastry barrier.
Because you stole our research.
Nevertheless.
Why can't this technology be generic so that we all can wet our spoons?
Like we did with Raisin Bran.
Not this time. These are my new terms. From now on, Post gets premium shelf space. Nothing near kosher foods or cat chow. Saturday morning cartoons, I want Deputy Dog and Snagglepuss.
Oh, come on, Marge!
And I want out of claymation characters with religious themes. It's a snoozer.
Oh, you can put my name on those.
How do we know this thing is even producible in quantities?
You'll know it when you see it on store shelves next week and then flying off them. Always a little surprise inside, right, Eddie?
Marge kisses toward Edsel. Rick scowls. The Kellogg's group stays.
Next week? I thought we had months.
Edsel takes off his glasses. Marge leaves.
What was that? You don't like him, do you?
Could never be, Ludwin. A Post and a Kellogg, it's forbidden.
Well, wouldn't that make it sexier?
I hope you die in a car fire.
Rick frowns. At the table.
We're dead. My legacy.
My sod.
Edsel departs.
It's a bold move to put chocolate on top of a cookie because it's something already sweet and then you're doubling down on it, but I guess you can never get enough sugar.
Bob whips his head to Stan.
Unless you can't get enough. Pack your bags. We're gonna put a kink in Post Garden Hose.
Stan dumps cookies into a briefcase. Puerto Rico. Under a blue sky, a chauffeur drives Bob and Stan in a sleek convertible. Passing palm trees and a manicured lawn, they head to a mansion.
Just so you know, he's very dangerous, and he loves live entertainment.
He controls 99% of the world's sugar.
He's a very important man. They call him El Sucre.
On a patio.
My Kellogg's friends, please.
El Sucre, so good to see you again. Amazing house.
Oh, well, thank you.
But the grout on the patio is not right. These tile guys. It was supposed to be a white. It's more of an off-white. They have to redo the whole thing.
They show you so many samples, you make yourself crazy.
You say I'm crazy?
El Sucre, a tawny-skinned man with a graying beard, stares.
No.
El Sucre lifts his chin.
El Sucre, we want to significantly increase our monthly sugar.
Yes, my special white powder gets a grip on you, no? But business can wait. In this hard life, we must also enjoy, no? A little entertainment. Hmm? From Cal Neva Lodge in Nevada, please welcome Eddie Mink and Danny.
A ventriloquist performs.
Thank you very much.
Stan shifts.
Hey, Danny, how about this beautiful house? Yeah, if you don't mind the bad grout job.
Ooh, we went right to it.
What's the big deal? There's blobs. It's all up.
A man drags away Eddie, the ventriloquist.
Making people laugh, but so important. Anyway, gentlemen, back to business.
Bob, Stan, and El Sucre look toward the noise.
El Sucre, sugar is why we came.
Yes, it is why everyone comes. How much are we talking?
We want all of it.
So you're finally going to finish off Post. That will cost you quite a bit.
There's something very big coming out. Money will not be an issue.
Oh, I know it won't. Because in my business, we have a saying. Pay us, or we kill you.
Appreciate it. All right, then. Then there we have it.
Yes.
Hey, thank you for, the spread.
No, please. Thank you for coming.
And good luck with everything that you're doing, which we didn't have a chance to talk about.
Next time.
Outside, Eddie leans over his dummy.
I'm dying, Eddie.
You shh. You done good, kid. You done real good.
I can't believe he's still doing the act.
He's a professional.
During the day, Bob sits in Edsel's office.
You bought all of it.
All of it?
I mean, that's a lot of sugar and a lot of money. And you don't play with El Sucre.
It's going to work.
It already has.
Let me see.
Edsel uses Stan's binoculars to spy out his window.
No smoke out of the stacks. They're not making anything. Oh, this is good.
He focuses on Marge's office.
This is very good.
Marge looks through binoculars at him. He startles. She hides.
Are you okay, ma'am?
Of course. Did you find us any sugar?
I might have something better. It's an artificial sweetener. They call it Carcinosweet. 1,000 times sweeter than sugar. But the health problems are off the charts. Dirty eyes, gout, tongue loss, night terrors, night sweats, and our old friend, buttock rashes.
Stop.
Marge puts her hand in Rick's face. Rick heads to the window.
Okay, what about this? What if we completely change direction? Eliminate all sugar. Become the first healthy lifestyle breakfast brand. Make a negative a positive. For the children. Imagine a new American generation. Fit, healthy, even-tempered. So, what do you think?
Marge whacks Rick with a typewriter, then drops it. Edsel observes as she daintily walks off. In the morning on Bob's porch, his blonde wife Anna pecks his cheek. As she heads in, Bob spots Mike's truck. It reads Friendly Farms Dairy, the cream team, milk, ice cream, butter. Bob opens the back door and looks inside. Bottles of milk line the sides. He shuts the door. Mike stands behind it.
Oh. Something I can help you with, Mr. Cabana?
No, I'm just admiring your rig. Sweet ride.
Sure is. You know, it's the calcium in milk that keeps bones strong.
Uh-huh.
Without milk, bones can break. They just snap. Have a good day, Mr. Cabana.
Yeah, you too.
Week 4, Dingus prototypes at Kellogg's.
We don't have much time. How close are the taste pilots?
They're very, very far away.
Maybe they're so far away, they're closer than they realize.
I don't think he listens to you.
What's that?
I said that.
Stan walks off.
Okay, Steve, showtime.
I haven't been able to come up with any food things per se, but I built this new Stingray bike that's smaller and easier for a kid to handle.
At Tom's station.
What I've learned is it doesn't matter what you make.
That's what you call it. Which is why we should call our new product Kellogg's Puss.
A cake with an ice cream cone nose.
That an ice cream cake of me?
Yes.
I see no wasted time here.
You got the nose right.
At Jack Station.
Well, in addition to our mission, I realized that I was on the wrong track pants-wise until a friend set me straight. That's why I invented the Kellogg's Sauna Suit. Foil-lined inflatable weight loss pants that lock in heat and moisture and say to the world, hey, eyes up here, not down there.
Jack's pants burst at Harold and Chef Station.
Inspired by his ravioli, we have crimped the pastry edge square to hold the jelly in.
That's something.
I'd call it the Kellogg's Fruit Monkey.
On a tray, a ravioli moves.
Oh, whoa.
What did you do? Why is it moving?
Chef, I made sea monkey ravioli.
He put the sea monkeys inside.
I said strawberries. You fool.
Uh-oh. Spaghettios.
I've entered all the data into UNIVAC to analyze.
Poppy's face falls as she reads a printed punch card.
Post wins.
I didn't need $1 million abacus to tell me that. It's garbage. All garbage.
Edsel strides off. Bob presses his lips together.
Now what?
Now what? You were my now what. These guys were your now what. You tell me now what.
So, are we done? I just moved my whole family here. My wife is in a reading group. She chose the book.
I was going to the moon, Schwinn.
I was going to Argentina.
Stan frowns. Bob covers his eyes. Outside, Bob pushes a rolling cart with the failed presentations to a dumpster. He throws away a machine.
Ow!
The kids pop up.
Oh, hi, Mr. Cabana.
Butchie, Kathy, what are you guys doing here? Why aren't you in the post dumpsters?
They started spraying coyote urine to keep us out.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, you won't find anything good in our trash.
Oh, yeah? Look at this.
What is that?
It's stale Rice Krispies and melted marshmallows. It's a treat. You know, Bob, we've been through this before. When you're dealing with garbage, you have to let go of conventional expectation. Just combine whatever you have.
You could sure get philosophical in these dumpsters.
Bob tastes a sticky mixture of Rice Krispies and melted marshmallow. He nods.
Combine whatever you have.
Bob studies the failed presentations. He widens his eyes. Inside, Stan reads a Mad magazine.
Boy, they don't pull any punches.
You ever eaten garbage, Stan?
Sure.
You let go of all your expectations and just combine whatever you have. Let me show you something.
Bob holds a pointer to a chalkboard.
Chef Boyardee and Sea Monkey Guy, the clever crimping of the pastry edge to seal in the filling. Tom Carvel, the importance of the name.
Okay. So, Jack LaLanne, Metal Lion Hot Pants, keeping his fruits moist and fresh.
Yes, UNIVAC. The punch cards, rectangular shape with holes in it. And Steve Schwinn, sweet little Steve, who invents things that are easy for kids to handle. And maybe they can handle an oven. But they can handle
a toaster. Which means two per foil pack.
Bob draws.
Rectangular shape, crimped edges, fruit filled, and a catchy name.
Press the handle down.
He flips the board.
Stan, my friend, I believe we have split the atom of breakfast.
In Bob's simple drawing, rows of dots fill a rectangle. Later, the researchers celebrate. Steve and Jack tap their beer bottles. People do the twist and drink. Harold and Chef Boyardee dance together. Tom wears a party hat. Edsel, Bob, and Stan watch.
That Carvel does a pretty good twist.
That's how his ice cream comes out.
Seems lewd, animalistic.
Girls love guys that can do the twist.
Why?
It's a shoulder motion in opposition to the hip rotation. It implies financial stability.
Oh.
You know, Boyardee, our sea monkey creation is evolving. I put him in an aquarium and he swam. So happy. It's a miracle. He's a real boy.
Chef, whatever he is, he belongs in a can.
So how close are we to an edible prototype?
I can tell you when we're not going to have it tomorrow morning. I need a pants chug.
Jack chugs from his inflatable pants. Tom comes upon a fish tank. The ravioli lightly swims. He taps his beer on the tank. The ravioli leaps out and flops to the floor. It crawls under a rolling lab table. Tom reaches for it. It scampers away to an air vent. It slips inside. In Marge's office, Rick brings Marge a martini. She rubs her temples.
Sugar. We need sugar, Ludwin. What did the Hawaiians say?
They need everything they have for those pineapple rings.
Sugar Ray Robinson?
Just a nickname.
Really?
If only we could get to Cuba.
Cuba? I know who may be able to help. But he's a short, ill-tempered, bald man with a twisted mind.
Uncle Fester?
No, but I like that show. Pack your bags, Ludwin. We're going to Moscow.
Moscow. Footage plays. A Russian army marches. Workers break up stone. In an office, Nikita Khrushchev, an older, light-skinned bald man, sits in front of a framed portrait of himself. A pale, red-haired woman stands nearby.
Thank you so much for helping us with our little sugar problem, Nikita.
So, Moscow, do you drive?
He wants badly know how holds up deal on your end.
Now, you asked for a fun, American-style children's cereal for Soviet Russia, and we heard you.
But we're not listening or spying or anything.
Nikita scowls.
It's no secret. Russian children like beets. So they'll love borscht loops.
Nikita and the woman stare fixedly.
Okay. Next up, crumblins.
Nothing but crumbs.
Nikita frowns.
And finally, say hello to everyone's favorite liquor-based cereal treat, Count Vodkulas.
I want to eat your cereal.
Shut up. Would you like to try one?
The woman grabs a handful of Count Vodkula cereal.
You taste first.
Marge takes it.
People try to poison Mr. Khrushchev.
Marge passes it to Rick.
Try it, Ludwin.
But this has been out of our sight since customs.
Eat it.
Rick tensely smiles, then slowly chews the cereal. Nikita watches. Rick shifts, then gives an okay sign.
Rush me the bone.
His deal.
Terrific! When can we expect our first sugar shipment?
That's your blinket, Bobno.
He says it all depends on whether you make the sex with him tonight.
Wow.
Ma'am, We really need that sugar.
You want to do it?
No, but I eat the poison cereal and I'm fine.
Rick beams as his nose bleeds. In the morning, Bob exits his home. Across the street, Mike watches with his foot propped on his truck. Bob cautiously walks to his car. He halts, looks at his patchy lawn, then continues.
Quick question. You think this milk's still okay to drink?
What? How would I know?
Smell it.
Bob smells milk.
Oh, it's not good. What's the expiration?
Bob drops. Mike leans over.
July 3rd.
Mike puts the milk's cap back on. Darkness. In a barn, a burlap sack covers Bob's head. He sits in a chair with his hands bound behind him. Through the sack, Bob glimpses someone approaching. Mike removes the sack.
Nice and shine.
Bob zeroes in on the approaching figure. A dark-haired, light-skinned little person in white holds a cowbell.
Welcome to Friendly Farms, Mr. Cabana, where life begins.
The man drops the cowbell. He takes a small milk jug from Mike and draws closer to Bob.
That milk you smelled expired 5 weeks ago. Another minute, and you wouldn't be smelling anything right now.
Are you a milkman?
The name's Harry Friendly, and you might say I am the milkman. Do you know the first taste a human being experiences at birth?
Applesauce?
Oh.
Milk, Mr. Cabana.
Right.
And in the milk business, we are not just part of the American dream. We are the white and the red, white, and blue. We are the cream that rises so famously to the top. And you, Mr. Cabana, have become the annoying white ring that sticks to the bottom. Because despite all your years in the breakfast game, you seem to have missed something. There is no cereal business without us. So you can see how it really frosts my huevos to see you relieving yourself in our flowing rivers of white gold. How long we known each other, Bob?
Since you captured me. Oh,
what to do? What to do? Ah! Just so you don't forget about me and the boys here. Walk them down the aisle.
He's a family man, sir.
I said the aisle!
The aisle? What's the aisle? Like in a movie theater or a concert hall?
Oh, there's gonna be a concert.
Milkmen lock Bob into a room flanked with cows. Harry, the white-suited man, drinks from the jug. In the cow room, flies whiz around Bob. Bob holds his breath and runs down the aisle. At Bob's, Bob takes a shower.
Bob?
One more minute!
Honey, you've been in there for over an hour. I'm sure you're clean.
But my mind. How do I wash it out of my mind?
In the research room.
And how is my baby today? Daddy brought breakfast, my yum-yum.
Harold taps a tin can on the fish tank, then inspects it. Chef Boyardee holds panettone and searches from the other side.
He's gone. What have you done with him, you noodle-sucking garlic knot?
Chef, I have traditional holiday cake. Harold looks around.
He's in the walls.
By the vent.
Little one, I have fishy food for you.
Chef, fishy food for you.
Come and see.
Chef Boyardee cries. In Bob's living room, Anna sits with Stan and Edsel.
I didn't know who else to call.
You did the right thing.
Bob plods out in a robe.
Hey, guys.
What did they do to you?
They made me walk the aisle.
Those lactose lowlifes.
Well, you're not the only one to take a hit. Our first payment to El Sucre was late, and somehow he gave me diabetes.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah. I just came from the doctor.
Oh, God. Look, nobody said this was going to be easy. We had a day at NASA where we lost Gus Grissom and our best space monkey in one accident. And their dental records were so damn similar that it was going to take weeks to sort out.
Are you telling us there are monkey parts mixed in with the remains of Commander Gus Grissom?
That's classified.
But you just told us.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You were right there.
You said
enough. Listen, guys, I'm out of the project.
What?
It's too much. It's gone too far. And nobody cares about some stupid heatable breakfast rectangle anyway.
The ground shakes. A toy's red robot punches a blue robot.
Honey?
What is going on?
A U.S. government helicopter lands.
Something's landing on the lawn.
That's gonna ruin your yard.
Bob opens the front door, revealing a soldier.
Are you guys Kellogg's?
Yes.
I've been ordered to bring you all to the White House. The president needs to see you right away. Let's go.
Go.
Edsel, Stan, and Bob head out.
Can I change?
There's no time.
Strong gusts rip Bob's robe off. It hits Anna's face.
Ah! For the love of God!
At the White House, the helicopter arrives. In the Oval Office, Edsel and Stan sit.
You know, I had political ambitions, but my mom said I wasn't likable.
Your mom sounds like a great lady.
The best.
Bob wears a big suit.
What the hell are you wearing?
It was all they had for me. It was Taft's.
William Howard Taft, first 300-pound president.
There's a half-eaten baby Ruth in the pocket.
Well, chew it slowly. That's history.
JFK enters. Stan salutes.
It's good to see you, Kellogg's boys.
Never mind.
Have you fellas ever considered calling a cereal Jackie O's? Just a pitch, but I think she'd get a big kick out of it.
Thank you, sir. We'll certainly take a good hard look at that.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the doghouse since you-know-who sang happy birthday to me. Anyway, we have been informed that those hacks over at Post are now working with the goddamn Ruskies.
Well, why would they do that?
Well, obviously, because you nitwits cut off their sugar supply. Now Khrushchev is trying to help them get it through communist Cuba. Whole damn island is sugarcane. The idea of our American children waking up in the morning to a commie breakfast pastry really burns my britches, and they were already burning due to the aforementioned blonde in the sequin dress. You have to win. Are you making any progress?
Progress? Show them, Stan.
Okay.
Stan unfolds a simple drawing.
It's not to scale, but...
Astonishing. What are you guys, 5 years old? Little John draws better than that, and I think there's something wrong with him.
Mr. President, to be perfectly honest, we could really use some help.
Let me get this straight. Did you just ask me what I could do for you?
Well...
Because I thought I made it perfectly clear in my inaugural address.
You did?
Great speech.
Ask not. What could be clearer? It's two words. It means don't ask.
So, not asking, but how about a story? Once upon a time, there was a really nice cereal company that had a problem with organized milk.
Okay, I get it. I will instruct my brother Bobby to tighten the screws on those cow huggers, but not because you asked.
We won't let you down, Mr. President. We're going to do for you, like you said.
Oy vey.
Sir, your next appointment is here.
Who is it?
The Doublemint Twins.
JFK runs his fingers down his tie.
In the outfits?
Ew.
Yes, Mr. President, they are in the outfits.
All right, gentlemen, if you will excuse me, it's time for an executive privilege.
Stan picks up a pen.
May I keep this?
Ask not!
Right.
She takes it.
I assume Jackie's still out buying hats?
The Doubleman twins wait outside. In a bartender serves Thurl.
I tried to raise them up. I brought them Lear. And they shooed me out like a foul wind.
Well, it doesn't bother me. Trouble keeps me in business. I love other people's anguish.
Shame. I had tickets for opening night.
Farther down the bar, Mike drinks milk.
I'm sorry?
I saw your 12 Angry Men one-man show.
Oh, yes? I felt I never really captured the anger of men 6 through 9.
Profound, nonetheless. May I?
Mike nears.
Mike Diamond, Friendly Farms.
Thurl Ethan Ravenscroft. Those tickets are non-refundable, by the way.
Uncouth Kellogg's Vulgarians. Personally, I think their product line goes nowhere without those talented mascots.
Whoever they are.
Yeah, they're all pretty good, but Tony the Tiger, he's the rudder on that ship.
Pathetic. Trooper Shields.
Pathetic, I suppose, if 14 straight quarters of record profits is pathetic.
Those mascot buffoons won't be getting their forefinger mitts on any of that.
Well, now that would be tragic. Especially with the kind of leverage they have. None of my business, but I don't think it would take much for those mascots to show old man Kellogg who's milking who.
Really? You think we could? They could?
As we milkmen say, a little cup of buttermilk with the proper churning can become a mighty cheese.
Is that a fart joke?
I don't think so. Anyway.
Mike dons his milkman hat.
Never forget. You're great.
Mike pats him, winks, then departs. Thurl turns and watches him leave. A CBS News bulletin films with Walter Cronkite.
Breakfast Wars ratcheted up today as cereal superpower Kellogg's announced they too are developing some sort of toastable whoozy whatsis. Coming up, tensions rise between the U.S. and Soviets off the coast of Cuba. Bobby Kennedy cracks down on organized milk. And the Doubleman twins are pregnant with twins of their own. As the CBS Evening News continues.
And we're clear.
There's a real breakthrough, Corky. X-ray specs. You can see into anything.
Walter takes off glasses.
Except my personal trauma. A lot of tension at home.
Corky and newsroom worker sighs.
A lot of tension. Gonna be staying late tonight, Corky.
In the lab, a worker puts a toaster on a table. A kitchen set features a mannequin family. Week 6, dingus test. The dad holds a pipe and the mom and dog have cigarettes. A worker sets a mic. Edsel, Bob, and Stan spy through an opening in a flower bag wall with binoculars.
I like these. I have astigmatism.
What is that?
Well, it's a mismatch of the focusing elements in the eye.
Oh, because I always
thought that... A lot of people have it and they don't realize.
Really?
Yeah, look through the binoculars. Does it seem clearer?
No, but it's closer.
Fellas!
Fruit pastry launch system is go.
Chuck, a beige-skinned worker, pushes up a lever on a console. Steve enters through doors in an astronaut suit.
Isn't this overkill, bunkers and spacesuits?
All standard NASA protocol. Plus, we're using titanium foil packets for the product, just to be safe.
Steve Swin, you are a go for two in the toaster.
Two in the toaster.
Steve carries a tray with two pastries. He sets down his attached tank that reads, flammable, oxygen. He places the pastries in the toaster.
Depress mechanism.
Dingus down.
Monitor coils.
The toaster's coils heat up.
Orange.
What's happening now?
It's toasting, sir.
Come on.
I'm switching the manual. Gonna open her up a little.
What's he doing?
He's changing the settings.
Steve shifts a dial.
He's at 5, 6, 7.
I don't like this.
Is it 8? 8.5.
Schwinn, lightly brown, lightly brown.
The pastries pop up.
Proceed with caution. Fruit filling may be hot.
Steve pulls out one toasted pastry. Steve takes a bite. Edsel, Stan, and Bob watch fixedly.
Well, Papa Wheelie, we've got a treat!
Wheelie!
Steve bounces. The tank's duct tubing pops off and flails around. Steve tries to catch the wriggling tube. It sprays oxygen into the heated toaster. The kitchen set explodes. The dog mannequin's top half bounces across the floor.
Bob and Stan sprint to the smoky set. Red napkins fly past them. They survey the scorched, destroyed set.
There's nothing left!
Wait, over there, what's that?
A figure appears in the smoke, holding an astronaut helmet.
Is that a man?
Damn right it is. It's Steve Schwinn, Steve!
No, it's me, Chuck. Steve blew up. Don't go over there, it's gross.
What's happening? Where's Steve?
Steve was vaporized, but we had a funny mix-up with Chuck.
At a cemetery, a bike stands behind a casket. Snap, Crackle, and Pop play bagpipes. The Quaker, Isaiah, and Thurl as Tony the Tiger stand before Edsel, Stan, Bob, and others.
Grain to grain, cows to milk. Some settling in life is to be expected. Steve Schwinn, however, never settled.
Steve was great.
He'd like that.
He lived his life like he built his bicycles, with little regard for safety. And when a man gives the last full-serving suggestion of himself, only then is he truly deserving to be buried with full serial honors.
A green rooster mascot kneels by the casket. Steve's wife, a pale brunette, stares with a furrowed brow.
Full serial honors, Mrs. Schwinn.
That's quite an honor.
It's a great honor.
What is happening?
The rooster spins the casket lowering device's crank. The casket descends. The cowboy mascot carries a large box of cornflakes.
Did you plan this?
I don't know.
A toucan mascot steps up.
Ave Maria.
He holds a big spoon. The cowboy and a giraffe mascot pour cornflakes onto the casket. Steve's wife watches with parted lips. A mascot with a big red apple head and the rooster pour milk onto the casket. The casket rises.
Last ball, huh?
Stan nods. A sheriff horse mascot and the toucan move around the cereal with the big spoons. A mourning woman slices banana onto the casket.
Why?
Who was she?
Snap, Crackle, and Pop present Steve's wife with a giant prize inside packet. They fold it like a flag.
Snap! Crackle! Pop! Snap! Crackle! Pop!
They give her the packet.
What is this?
It's the prize inside, Mrs. Schwinn.
It's probably one of those stick-on tattoos.
It's not permanent, just lasts a couple days. Snap! Crackle! Pop!
The funeral ends.
You know, your husband died a hero.
Isn't this a cereal company? Why did my husband explode?
Bob shrugs.
Get me out of here.
She's upset.
She'll get over it, or she may never, ever recover from the loss.
Look.
Men stand by cars.
The milkman rushes in the Sucre voice. The noose is tightening.
Speaking of tightening, is that the Taft candy suit?
Yeah, I took it in. What do you think?
Think you're looking for a veto.
Do it.
Veto.
There.
By a tree?
Mascots, gather. We have chafed under the yoke of Kellogg's exploitation for too long.
I hear their new space rectangle doesn't even have a mascot.
They're phasing us out.
Indeed they are, good Crackle. And they never cut us in. I ask you this. Without our faces, without our magic...
Thurl holds a cereal bag.
What have you left?
A cheap bag of horse feed that we bring to life.
I say we cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war.
Are we getting dogs?
No, no. Simple Snap. The time has come for us to go on strike.
Oh.
But if we have a dog, should we bring it?
On a street, Stan and Bob sit up front in Edsel's car.
You know there's a back seat.
There's nothing going on back there. That's where the action is.
People rush to a television store's display window.
Hey, what's going on over there? Pull over.
On a sidewalk, they move to the front of the crowd. On a TV, JFK makes an announcement.
A Russian military ship has been intercepted off the coast of the United States. We believe it's illegal Cuban sugar, meant to destabilize a balanced breakfast.
I tell you, the wife's a knocker.
Yeah.
Already got the boys working on the Jackie O thing.
Her last name's Kennedy. What does that even mean?
No, the shape of the cereal is an O. Cheerios, Oreos, Jackie O's.
Shh! He's talking about nuclear war, you idiots.
These spy photos clearly show some giant nuclear missiles. We're not too worried about that. But if these ships aren't immediately turned back, I may go ballistic. Not necessarily nuclear missile ballistic. It's more about how upset I am. There's two kinds of ballistic. There's emotional ballistic, And then there's everyone dies ballistic.
Oh. All right, that's it.
Where are you going?
This ends now.
I know my way around a boat. I was sickly as a child, so they got me a dinghy.
At night in Edsel's office, he stares out his window. A crescent moon hangs over Post. He sips from a bottle. Marge joins him with a martini.
How did it get this far?
It's breakfast. Things happen. You know, we built that city right there.
Inherited. And our bickering threatens to destroy it.
I've decided to release your sugar.
I'll tell Khrushchev not to blow up America.
Will he listen to you?
Maybe, if I offer him something valuable in return.
Would William Howard Taft's candy suit work?
I don't know what that is, but I'll give it a whirl.
Give this a whirl.
Edsel turns on a turntable and twists.
Come on, everybody! What do you
think? Marge fixes her gaze on him.
It's feral. It's vulgar. I like it.
She downs her martini, then dances.
Hey, but we built these two giant cereal companies.
Inherited.
These two giant cereal companies to get each other's attention.
Maybe we did.
He twists over her. She leans back.
What are you afraid of?
He draws close.
I'm not afraid.
What is that? What?
The ravioli hides.
Oh, that's just some new form of life we made by accident that we're trying to catch so it doesn't reproduce.
You made that? Where did it go?
Anyway, where were we?
Marge leaves.
Kind of in a weird mood now.
But...
At daytime, outside Kellogg's, mascots strike.
Ho, ho, hey, hey, Edsel K has got to pay.
What do we want?
Dignity!
When do we want it?
Soon!
Edsel's office.
Time to give those trench-footed furballs a poodle cut.
There is no laugh. There was no laugh. Now we know, and that is fact.
Never mind that. Whoever gets to the shelves first is going to win this thing.
All we need is a name.
Don't worry, I got a couple of can't-miss Madison Avenue admin coming.
In a meeting room, Don Draper stands by a poster board.
Kellogg's. When you hear it, it's more than a name. It's the warm embrace of home, of family. And where does that family begin? It begins with two beating hearts, like two pastries. Alone, in the dark, sharing a single foil wrapper.
Roger Sterling grins.
Imagine a husband coming home from work. His wife greets him at the door, wearing a satin negligee, leads him to the bedroom. With one flick of a red polished nail.
Bob glances at Edsel.
She ignites the coiled heat from a nearby toaster, which is also eager to receive his now warm pastries. Gentlemen, I give you the Gel Jolie by Martine Margot.
You know we're a kid cereal company, right?
If that's all you want to be.
I've been in your town for 6 hours, you know what I see? Dead trees and sad, lonely women.
I mean, the choice is yours. Raisin brand and irrelevant, or provocative and revolutionary.
Who notices dead trees?
Shut up, Herman. Genius at work.
Also available with a naughty hint of chocolat, Gel Jolie Noir. And, coming soon, Gel Jolie Sensual, with no packet at all for those who dare. Because his pleasure is also hers.
That's not actually true.
Why not?
Stan frowns.
So, are we celebrating? Carve up some of that Midwestern beef you're so famous for? Maybe lasso ourselves some thick ankle Gel Jolie of our own in this dust bucket of a town?
Can we think about it?
I'd say yes, but I don't think thinking is your strong suit.
Tell you what,
I'll be retired on a bluff overlooking Stinson Beach while you're still genuflecting before the god of mediocrity. Roger.
Glad I left the car running.
Bob turns to Edsel.
Why are they so mean? It's just advertising.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
What did you just say? You will never swim the English Channel and then drown in champagne.
No, I won't.
So where the hell's this Swinson Lake?
Don turns to Stan.
What did you just say?
I think you heard me.
Why don't you come work for me?
Forget it, Florsheim. I don't come when I'm called.
Oh. I'll be calling you.
Don adjusts her coat.
From payphone.
I'll lend you the dime.
Stan eyes Don's backside as he and Roger leave.
Good meeting.
Now who are we gonna get to help us sell this thing?
I might know a couple guys.
and they're local.
Edsel's office.
First, I think we just want to thank you for your time today. You're the experts, but, well, let's just get started. Fruit Magoos! What?
No.
Heat them up and eat them ups!
No sale.
Oblong Nibblers. Hmm.
Tough room.
Look, the name is the game, people. If we like the name, we'll eat it.
Do you know if Post has a name for theirs?
I believe they were going back and forth between Fresh Flatties and Dextrose Dillies.
Who's about strong?
Give me a minute. Hi there.
Kathy wears red wax lips.
How about you tell us what those tasted like? The jelly. Was it firm? Was it oozy? Did it coagulate? Come on. I'm keeping this.
Stan takes the lips.
I know how to talk to kids.
Edsel picks up Butchie.
We need you to know the damn pectin content or I'll murder your family.
Oh,
your
right, take I'll
drown your brother.
Why are you yelling like my dad?
Butchie wears a candy necklace and stomps off. He spots the roller massager.
You want to know the truth? I took one bite and it blew the back of my head right off. It was the most delicious piece of pizza I've ever had and I've had them all.
Well, you never had ours. Give it to her.
Butchie approaches the roller massager. Stan wheels in a cart with a serving tray. Edsel uncovers it.
Try that.
Kathy tries a rectangular pastry. Bob lifts his brows. Butchie switches on the machine. He leans over it. Kathy stares at the adults.
Is this a joke?
What?
This tastes like their thing. You guys made the same thing.
Everybody makes the same thing. Coke and Pepsi, Ford and Chevy. The important thing is the name.
The name.
The bow machine got Butchie! Oh.
Butchie's candy necklace catches.
My rum master!
Butchie eats a flying candy. The necklace breaks. Butchie falls.
How many, Mr. Cabana? How many more have to die? Get your hands off me.
Butchie, are you okay?
He's fine. Now what are we gonna call this thing?
Butchie reads a chalkboard. Toaster ready anytime treat.
You've got your name right there. The first letter of each word. Toaster ready anytime treat. Put on plate. Trap Pop.
Trap Pop? I kind of like it.
Now that's cool. It's a secret code name like UFO or NASA.
Or bra, booby restraining apparatus.
That is not what it means.
I have reason to believe otherwise.
So do I.
Bob looks at Edsel.
What?
Trap Pop.
Let's see how it plays.
A commercial.
Kellogg's Trap Pop. Yummy in the morning, yummy at noon. Yummy in the evening and under the moon. Kellogg's.
Edsel smokes a cigar and watches.
Treat. Ready anytime you like to eat. Put on plate. Your tummy's gonna celebrate. Yummy, yummy. Kellogg's Trap Pop.
The commercial ends. Bob and Stan sit behind him.
So?
What do you think, EK?
Edsel swivels around and the lights turn on.
It's gold.
All that's left is the routine certification by FDA rep Mr. Mike Puntz.
Stan and Bob light cigars.
Well, that's the easy part.
Stan bends over.
That's nice.
At a newsstand.
But what about those mascots?
Already dealt with.
A headline reads, Kellogg's fires mascots.
Well, Mr. Kellogg, I think you'll find this tiger has claws.
Thurl struggles to rip a newspaper. He crumples, then tosses it. An article reads, FDA's punts to certify new product today. Outside Kellogg's, mascots gather and harass Kellogg's workers. More mascots arrive in the back of a pickup. One falls out. A shirtless Thurl wears tiger pants and a horned tiger hat.
Serial mascots and mascot patriots from across the land. Gather ye one and all.
In his office, Edsel picks up a phone.
Fortify the perimeter. I want maximum resistance. Send both security guards.
In a meeting room.
Where the hell is Punts?
I don't know. Oh, here we go.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Sorry I'm late. They had me come in through the back like a plumber.
Here we go.
Let's go.
And I am...
Stan pats a chair.
Here?
Here. Right here.
Right here.
Yeah.
Punts sits.
There we go. Let me just get you in there. There we go.
Harold looks out the window.
I have seen angry mobs gather like this before. Where was I?
Outside.
Do you know what they call us from up there?
No. What?
Felt hobos. and carpet critters.
Hans holds a pen.
This pen was a gift from a colleague, and it was an accidental gift.
We don't care.
Little Debbie here has treats and Desinex for any costume rash. For it is time to fight! Let us show them what happens when cooler heads do not prevail.
Outside, Chef Boyardee lifts a huge whisk. Inside, Poppy eyes a TV.
Mr. Kellogg, you should see this.
I was told by a prominent Kellogg's executive that they had created a mutant pasta creature by accident. I wouldn't eat anything that company makes.
And you're the chairman of Post, their main competitor?
Well, we used to be. But now that our new product, the Post Country Square, has been certified, we'll be number one.
Outside, Thurl points up.
They're about to certify a product that will replace you.
No! No!
Oh, you had better fight like hell, or you're not gonna have a breakfast anymore! Let the four fly!
The mascots storm the stairs. Guards hold metal barricades as mascots push them. The mascots shove through. An elf mascot uses a barricade as a ladder.
Go! Go, the wolf! Go!
In the beauty of the lilies, he was born across the sea.
A ketchup mascot punches a guard. Snap and Crackle throw smoke bombs. The applehead headbutts a guard. Inside, Edsel, Stan, and Bob shift. Punce shuts his eyes as he chews a pastry.
Strawberry.
Oh, blueberry.
It's all one flavor, Mike. We just changed the colors.
They've broken through the perimeter.
The tiger is pooping.
Outside, mascots climb the building. The ketchup grasps a fries mascot that dangles from an edge.
Don't let me go!
I'll never let you go!
We belong together!
The fries fall.
No!
On the Kellogg's awning, mascots celebrate. Some climb the windows. Thurl leads mascots inside.
Remember this day, boys. For this is our company now.
The mascots riot.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Our mission here is to stop the certification. Hunt, hunt,
hunt, hunt, hunt, hunt.
I love you all. You're all very special.
The applehead trips upstairs.
When can you eat these? Is this a meal? Is this a snack?
It's not going to be anything if you don't certify it. Give me that stamper.
Bob wrestles with Punts.
Don't do it, Bob.
You don't have the training.
To do what? This?
Bob stamps.
Too late.
Stan displays a stamped certification paper.
I guess there really isn't that much to it.
We are undone, boys. Undone by cruel fate.
It wasn't fate. You had to stop at Woolworths for a tooth necklace and Viking horns.
Be very careful, Crackle. But I will take a horn and joust you in the eye. Dignified retreat.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop follow Thurl.
Open or closed?
Closed.
Snap shuts the doors behind him.
Wait up!
You know, this really is a terrific product.
Thank you.
In the CBS newsroom, Walter rapidly opens and shuts a container.
Don't you think you've had enough to drink tonight, Walter? Not if you keep talking. They really outdid themselves with this one, Corky. It's called Silly Putty. Stretches, bounces, and by some mechanism not yet fully understood, captures images off a printed page when you smush it.
Just getting this now, a riot at Kellogg's.
Ooh, let me see that. When the ink is fresh, it works really good.
Walter pounds Silly Putty onto a paper. Corky wrinkles his brow.
I pay the goddamn bills. I'll drink as much as I goddamn want to drink.
In Edsel's office.
Breaking news out of Battle Creek tonight. A violent mob of beloved cereal mascots attacking their own company over a new product. A product called...
Edsel, Bob, Poppy, and Stan watch TV.
Having trouble finding my notes here. We're all a little rattled by this story. Oh, well, I guess I could just...
read it off my Silly Putty. A product called...
Words appear reversed.
The Pop-Tart.
Bob squints.
What did he just say?
He called it a Pop-Tart.
He read it backwards.
Pop-Tart. It's Trad-Pop.
Not anymore. 40 million people just heard Pop-Tart.
That wizard-faced news monkey screwed it up.
Isn't Pop-Tart a little too close to Andy Warhol's pop art?
Nobody will make that connection.
I just did.
Bob's brows twitch up.
Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart. I kind of like it.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell's the difference? Change the boxes and get them on the trucks.
Pop-Tart. That's gonna sell.
In a New York office, Don rips up an ad poster. A hand pushes down a toaster's press button. Smoke billows out the bottom. Its inner coils toast a Pop-Tart. At the bottom, it ignites. Springs lift the Pop-Tart. It rockets out of the toaster. At Kellogg's loading dock, drivers close a loaded truck's back doors. On a suburban street, a Post and Kellogg's truck race. Neck and neck, they zoom down the road. Night turns to day. In Edsel's office, he sleeps on a bag of Fruit Loops. Bob rests on cornflakes. They use mascot costumes as blankets. Edsel hurries to the phone.
Talk to me.
Bob gets up.
What do you mean you don't have any sales numbers? Call me the second you do.
What'd they say?
That's some kind of switchboard breakdown. All the lines are flooded on the damn day we launch.
All right, calm down. It might just be a botulism flare-up.
Oh, I hope it's botulism. I just rolled out $5 million worth of Pop-Tarts. You better have some numbers for me. Spit it out! What?
At a grocery store, kids rush inside. A worker stops stocking shelves and runs in Edsel's office.
Really?
In the store, kids look between Post's country squares and Kellogg's Pop-Tarts in Edsel's office.
Oh, my God.
So? Did anybody buy the Pop-Tart?
Edsel smiles.
Every store in the continental United States was cleaned out within 60 seconds.
What?
At the store.
It's like a locust attack. Kids are doing anything to get their hands on these Pop-Tarts. Six stock boys were bitten. It's a feeding frenzy. It's the name. No kid wants to be a square. And a square from the country? Forget it.
In Edsel's office.
We got to the moon. The breakfast moon.
These things are the greatest two rectangles since the Ten Commandments.
Edsel and Bob snack on Pop-Tarts.
What if we had frosting? Bad idea.
Yeah. So Kellogg's was once again the king of Battle Creek, and everyone at the company was happy. Well, maybe not everyone.
In a hearing.
Mr. Ravenscroft, is it true you are a role model for children?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, what kind of role model defecates in the hallway of one of America's most beloved companies and yells out, and I quote, I've got some Kellogg's for you?
I regret that. I had a very large bowl of bran flakes.
In a house.
Harold von Braunhut and Chef Boyardee raised Eric, their pasta creature, as their own, eventually finding out they were ill-suited to handle a rebellious teen ravioli.
Eric! I told you to put the pool cover back on!
You hear the way your son talks to me?
Oh, when he talks back, he's a my son! Do
I know? Oh, you want to have this fight again, huh?
Tom Carvel and Jack LaLanne realized they were both part of the same hypocrisy. So they open stores side by side.
I thin them out.
And I pack it back on.
Univac was drafted and shipped to Vietnam, where, according to those who served under him, his ideas became even more unsound.
A card prince.
The horror.
After Bobby Kennedy squeezed the udders on Big Milk, conspiracy theorists pointed to frame 263 of the Zapruder film, which appeared to show someone delivering milk to a very strange place, a grassy knoll.
Photos.
Marjorie Post, one of the first women CEOs, became an icon of female empowerment, ultimately building a lasting monument to feminism, which she named Mar-a-Lago.
Actually true. At Kellogg's, Stan drives a VW bus.
In the end, Stan vetoed Kellogg's, her career, and pretty much the whole culture.
Stan, you can't park here.
You're such a square, man.
What the hell are you eating?
Something I invented called granola. And it's gonna bury you! Ow.
She throws granola.
That's not bad.
Edsel eats some.
Get a job!
Not only was I able to send my kids to a multi-hundred-dollar college...
Nice sod.
I had enough left over for sod.
Bob lays on sod.
And thanks to the super success of the Pop-Tart, even I was famous.
On The Tonight Show, Bob sits.
Nice to meet you, Bob. Looks like you got a winner here.
Well, we love breakfast at Kellogg's, and we felt it was time for something new.
Now, why... Why the rectangle shape?
Well, the pentagram was taken, Johnny.
By the devil!
But like everything else in the surreal world, there was always a surprise inside.
Andy Warhol shoots Bob.
It's Andy Warhol, creator of pop art.
Your 15 minutes is up, Cabana. Only I can be derivative.
Andy takes off. Bob pulls Pop-Tarts from his suit's inner pocket.
And thanks to Stan's titanium foil packet, I was okay.
The diner.
So I'm to believe the Pop-Tart packet could stop a bullet?
I'm here, aren't I?
And that little ravioli creature. What the hell was that?
Two parents hurry in.
I was just having some fun with you. Anyway, I think someone's here to see you.
Mom! Dad!
Come on, George. It's time to go home.
All right. We'll get you those x-ray specs.
Yay!
The ravioli peeks out from Bob's pocket.
Hey!
George spots the ravioli.
Yeah. Mom, did you see that?
Bob salutes.
Wait, what was that?
Outtakes play.
Zeeswin, are you there?
Flower bags fall. Poppy dances.
What works for us is choo-choo trains and Snagglepuss.
Yeah, I'll get right to work on Snagglepuss.
They're so wrong.
Thurl mouths lyrics.
I want Deputy Dog and Snagglepuss.
Oh, come on, Mart!
At the cemetery, Snap, Crackle, and Pop stand.
We literally have one job.
Mike points. Jack dances. The ravioli shoots out its tongue to eat tiny sugar pops. Edsel jumps back. The ravioli sways.
You want to go, Carvel?
Tom does the twist. Steve hula hoops. Stu lip syncs. Under the Kellogg sign, people dance around Bob. On a platform, Jack slides and Steve bounces. In a car, Stan twirls her arms.
Kara Gina.
Kara Gina.
No.
Kara Gina.
He had a girl named Kara Gina.
In the barn, Harry hits a cowbell and Mike dances. In Marge's office, she strikes a pose. She pretends to snorkel as Rick dances behind her. On the stairs, Thurl dances with the mascots.
Fruit flabby.
Fritters, whatever the they're called.
This is a comedy. Sorry, I get it. Sorry.
I thought I was trying to win an award.
JFK and the Doubleman twins make a freestyle swim move. Andy Warhol sways with his eyes closed. Kathy clings to a truck.
Give up the torso, man!
She pulls the driver out. Kathy drives as Butchie hangs off the top.
Mike Diamond. Frosty Tips.
No. Frosty Farms.
Friendly Farms.
Frosty Tips.
Chef Boyardee attempts to jump into Harold's arms. Harold hugs him and nods. Rick and Marge do the robot. Snap, Crackle, and Pop bend down and walk in a line. The ventriloquist dummy's head falls off. Nikita and the red-haired woman kick their legs out to the side. Walter lip syncs. Rick and Marge hug. Punts throws papers into the air. The ad men lift their arms and jiggle. Purvis gets down with Univac. The Quaker shakes raised arms. The kids mouth lyrics in the dumpster to each other. On the Kellogg stairs, Bob lip syncs with dancers. Opening credits. A Columbus 81 production. A Skyview Entertainment production. A Good One production. Title, Unfrosted. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Kathleen Finn and voiced by Jamie Lampshick. Credits. Directed by Jerry Seinfeld. Written by Jerry Seinfeld and Spike Furstein and Andy Robin and Barry Martyr. Produced by Jerry Seinfeld, PGA. Spike Furstein, PGA. Produced by Bo Bauman, PGA. Executive producers, Andy Robin, Barry Martyr, Cheryl Ann Martin. Director of Photography, William Pope. Production designer, Clayton Hartley. Edited by Evan Henke, ACE. Costume designer, Susan Matheson. Music by Christoph Beck. Music supervisor, Julia Michaels. Visual effects supervisor, Seth Hill. Casting by Christy Carlson. Jerry Seinfeld. Melissa McCarthy. Jim Gaffigan. Hugh Grant. Max Greenfield. And Amy Schumer. Peter Dinklage, Christian Slater, Bill Burr, Dan Levy, James Marsden, Jack McBrayer, Thomas Lennon, Bobby Moynihan, Adrian Martinez, Sarah Cooper, Mikey Day, Kyle Mooney, Drew Tarver, Tony Hale, Felix Solis, Maria Bakalova, Dean Norris, Kyle Dunnigan, Sebastian Maniscalco, Beck Bennett, Cedric the Entertainer, Fred Armisen, John Slattery, John Hamm, Aparna Nuncherla, Andy Daly, Sarah Burns. Introducing Eleanor Sweeney, Bailey Sheets. Credits continue. Copyright 2024, Netflix.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.